Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's only fitting this morning that our message be on spiritual warfare because our dear sister Ray Walker, if there's one characteristic that the Lord Jesus manifested through this sister, she was a warrior. And the joy of the Lord was her strength. And today, so I think it's only fitting that as the Lord has worked it out, that we be sharing on this area of spiritual warfare. Ray, we love you, and we still do. Well, this morning, as we come, I've just got this burden on my heart that we be awakened, that we be aware. As I've shared on these previous messages on spiritual warfare, one of the real obstacles that we have to overcome is the obstacle of passivity, of just not recognizing the wiles of our adversary. He has cloaked himself so well, his wiles are so deceptive, that most of the time his activities go unnoticed in our lives until there's some extreme tragedy or something in our lives that causes us to be awakened to the fact that we are in a warfare. Now, in 1 Peter 5:8, the Lord's very clear. He says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. That is our adversary. We need to be awakened to that. I was impressed this morning as I was coming and I had these things on my heart that we just cannot ever become passive in this matter of spiritual warfare. Nehemiah chapter 4. I think it's so interesting. It said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very angry. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. In other words, the enemy had become aware of this wall of testimony being built, and they became very angry. In the beginning, they did not perceive that these people would be able to perform such a feat. But as they began to see the wall being raised, the enemy, it says, became angry and began to conspire against the children of Israel, against the children of God, who had set their hearts to come and return and build a testimony to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. And they were angry. But immediately, when the light or the knowledge of the enemy's plans became evident to Nehemiah and the children of God, they became alarmed. Not in a negative way, but they were awakened to the fact that their adversary was going to do all that he could to hinder them and possibly attack them. And I think it's very interesting. Right away, they went into their warrior mode. It said, therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. Brothers and sisters, what's on my heart today? Are we fighting for our brothers and sisters? Are we fighting for our sons and daughters? Are we fighting for our houses? Are we fighting for our children? We are in a warfare. All are at risk, and we need to be aware of the enemy's attack, and we cannot be passive and say, yes, I know I have an adversary. I heard a message on it 7 years ago, as my brother just said, the first message he heard when he came here 7 years ago, I spoke on warfare. Well, obviously 7 years was apparently too long to wait to speak again. But we cannot be negligent. We must be vigilant in this area. Interesting enough, they not only did their alarm system go off, they armored themselves, they armed themselves, and it says in verse 417, they which build it on the wall, they bear the burdens and that laden them with one hand, they wrought the work with one hand, and with the other hand they held their weapons. And then they stood and they built as they were prepared for the assaults of the enemy. Now, not only that, but they prayed. I love this prayer. Listen to this prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in this land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. In other words, as they realized the significance of the warfare they were in, it wasn't like, well, okay, yeah, I have an enemy. Jerry spoke on it. I remember something about a bear. Yeah. No. They were intense over this matter. Their prayers were not simple prayers of, Lord, protect us from the enemy. You listen to this prayer, you see that the prayer was quite authoritative and aggressive in nature. In other words, they were angry with their adversary just as the adversary was angry with them. I'm not sure if we've ever, sometimes we need to actually get fed up with our enemy's tactics in our lives and address the issues, which we'll get into later. The thought being that this warfare is real. It's not to be taken lightly, brothers and sisters. It's not that our lives should be focused on the warfare. It has to be focused on Jesus Christ. But we have to be aware of our enemy at the same time. On one hand, we build with one hand the testimony of Jesus. On the other hand, we hold a sword in our hands. You know, one of the things about the Roman sword, which we'll get into the armor later, but the Roman sword was a short sword for close battle, in-your-face warfare. You know, it wasn't like the fencing thing where you duel out here at arm's length. This was a close-up battle. It's hand-to-hand combat. That's the kind of combat we're in. Well, two words, detect and reject. Detect and reject. We have to detect the wiles of the enemy in our lives, and then we have to reject his wiles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came up with four A's. Kenny's real good at this, but unfortunately, as we know, Kenny couldn't speak this morning. But I came up with four A's. I call it the Quad A plan. Now, we have the AAA, and a lot of ladies like to use AAA because they feel assured if they're out somewhere and their car breaks down. If they got a AAA and a cell phone, they can take care. You know, they feel much more secure, which they should, and able to get help in time of an emergency. Well, I came up with the Quad A plan, a little bit better than the AAA plan. First, we have to be alarmed, an alarm system to detect the wiles of the enemy. We need an alarm system. Basically, that means we need to be sensitive to the enemy's wiles, to understand the way in which he works, which we shared on in the previous 2 weeks. We need to have our armor. We need to be armored. And we'll get in that today. That's Ephesians 6, all the armor of God. We need to be protected from our adversary and from his wiles, and particularly from the fiery darts. We need to be armed. In other words, we know that the soldier in Ephesians 6 carried a sword, which was the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which was the Word of God. And we need to have authoritative prayer. The fourth A. Authoritative prayer. Prayer fitted for war. Not the kind of prayer where you're asking the Lord to fulfill some kind of need that you have in your life, or something that you're looking forward to, or anything of that nature. Not the kind of prayer that is asking for something. But the kind of prayer that is spiritual warfare that deals with our adversary. Well, the quad A. Don't forget the quad A plan. Alarmed, armored, armed, and authoritative prayer. And I think we saw that example in the book of Nehemiah. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just go as far as we can get with this morning. I doubt we'll get through all the armor, but we'll see. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you, or put on, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here, we've moved from this alarm stage where the Lord is beginning to make us aware that we have an adversary and some of the wiles that He has, so that in our spirit we can detect that, yes, this is indeed the adversary. And today we come to this matter of the Christian armor that is needed. Sometimes I should have done an overhead on this, but I just didn't really have the time. But first of all, we have this belt, this girt about with truth. It's around the center, it's around the hip area. The strength is in the hips, the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness, this breastplate that covers this vital organ called the heart, and also our conscience, as we'll see. The sandaled shoes, the gospel of peace for our feet. In other words, our walk, our daily walk, this matter of peace. The shield of faith, which is used to be a shield against fiery darts from attacking us in our body. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Of course, the helmet goes over the head, the mind, that's where our brain is. Sometimes I wonder where it is, but it is for the mind. And then it talks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And of course, that's an action taken by your hand. Your hand is designed for action and to accomplish things. And then, of course, it talks about prayer. Prayer itself is not the armor, but without prayer, none of the rest will be of any value to you. So, prayer is, you might say, the thing that energizes, that makes it all work together in Jesus Christ. It releases the power that is inherent in the armor, and it gives power to the weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. So what do we have? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, gospel of peace, the shield, faith, the helmet, salvation, the sword is the Word of God, and then we have prayer. Now, as you listen to these, you begin to get a picture of what this armor is. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the way and the truth. I am the truth." In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification." Righteousness. He not only is truth, He is our righteousness. In Ephesians 2:14, it says, "For He Himself is our peace." Christ. Galatians 2:20, it says, "I live by faith, but not my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God." Christ's faith. Salvation. In Luke 2:30, when the Lord as a babe was brought into the temple, Simeon held up the babe and said, "I have seen God's salvation." Without Christ, there is no salvation. All salvation is in Jesus Christ. And of course, the Word. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." Jesus Christ. So what is our armor? I think it's pretty evident. It's Jesus Christ. He is ultimately, He is our armor. In other words, when we think and when we talk about the various aspects of the armor, you cannot really separate any one aspect of the armor from Jesus Christ Himself. Without Jesus Christ, there is no armor in your life. That's why your relationship to Jesus Christ is so extremely critical in this warfare. Because if you have a distant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you really, effectively, are not putting your armor on. You're not wearing your armor. We need to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is our armor. So that when we talk about the armor and the various aspects of armor, we can never separate any individual piece from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's not that we are armored with things, we're armored with Him. In Romans 13:14 it says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is your Christian armor. And that is your protection. That is your safety. But there is another aspect. It says, make no provision for the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? The flesh is basically our self-life, our self-desire, self-pleasure. Key point, self-will. And it says, make no provision for it. Why? Because it is indeed the flesh that gives the enemy his foothold in your life. You can be armored with Christ, but if we're not taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and taking up our cross daily, he has a foothold in your life and by which he can establish a beachhead, so to speak. Those familiar with warfare, like when we went in on D-Day into Europe, they hit the beaches. They established a beachhead. And some of y'all have seen the, I can't think of the recent movie, what was it? Saving Private Ryan. If you can bear through the first 30 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, it is horrific. And the thing about that movie is, I'm not sure it even met the reality of what those men experienced that day. I had an uncle that went through it, and he could not talk about it. It was such a tremendous amount of firepower. But they had to establish that beachhead. And once they took the beachhead, they could move inland. And so the enemy establishes a beachhead in our lives, and that beachhead so often is our self, our self-will, our self-desires. And I think it's interesting. The Lord Jesus, right before He was going to the cross in John 14:30, says, "The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." That's why the enemy couldn't get to our Lord. He said that the Lord had a self, but it was pure. It's not like ours. But He chose not to live by it. He said, "Not my will, but thy will." In the garden, it was settled. Not my will, but thy will. And the enemy could not challenge our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, our Lord did go to the cross. He allowed Himself to be crucified there, to become God's Lamb. I'm sure the enemy thought that he had wrought a tremendous victory that day when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ crucified by the hands of men. And as you know, the devil himself never put our Lord Jesus on the cross, but he incited men to do it. And he was the instrument behind it. But in what he thought was victory, he found his defeat. Because the Lord Jesus overthrew death, he rose from the grave, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And it says he has taken the keys of death from our adversary. So it was because the Lord said he could find nothing in him. Brothers and sisters, we need to be clear today. One of the greatest beachheads the enemy has is our self-will. It's our self-will. And we have to be so careful with that. Last week, I read Psalm 91:1 because I felt like in the midst of this, we had to know that God was in control. And that ultimately, if we would stay and dwell in our Lord Jesus Christ, that is our protection. But let me read 91:1 again. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I thought about that this week, and I said, well, the shadow of the Almighty. As long as you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you're okay. As long as you're in the will of God, you're protected. As long as you're in the shadow of the Almighty, the will of God. Not self-will, but His will. The shadow of the Almighty. It just struck me so deeply. That is our safety is being in the will of God. Regardless of the trials and tribulations we experience, if we're in the will of God, the victory is there. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, He was in the will of God. And though He suffered mightily on the cross, went through a tremendous trial on the cross, He came out in victory, a victory that secures every other victory in this world and in our lives personally. The will of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our armor. And as we consider this armor, you can never separate the thought of any one aspect of the armor from Jesus Christ Himself. I think one of the greatest examples of this is David and Goliath. You know, when David went out to face Goliath, he didn't wear any armor. At least he did not wear the armor of that day. Saul offered him his armor, but he wouldn't put it on. And you say, that seems to be contrary. It's not, because God was his armor that day. It was God. It was in the name of the Almighty God that he faced Goliath that day. Go back and read your story. It was in the name of God. He was armored with God himself that day as he went out. And he was not fearful. He faced Goliath. Who are you to come against the armies of the living God? He was bold. He could be bold because he was armored in God. He was not fearful because he was confident in his God. He was confident in the fact that the cause for which he was in was God's cause. It was God's will. And he stood for God's will that day. And Goliath was defeated. Tremendous story. But yes, David had his armor on that day. And he didn't have a sword, he had a sling. But he used his weapon efficiently and accurately. And he did not falter in that battle. Well, in Ephesians 6:11, we've read it. Let me get back there because we're going to be looking at that quite a bit. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on. That is an active word. Put on. You know, sometimes we think because we're Christians, we automatically have this armor on. Well, we do have Christ. But there's something that the Lord says you have a responsibility for, and that's to put on. Well, we are in Jesus Christ, but the Lord's saying there's got to something happen in man's will. You're always having to make a choice, brothers and sisters. And God says we have to make active choices, not passive choices. We can't just wake up in the morning and think that this armor is automatically on. Yes, we're the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. He has His sovereign hand in our life. But brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to exercise our will. I'm not talking about willpower. Just exercise our will and say, Lord, today You are my armor. You, Lord Jesus Christ. I go in. I put You on as my armor. I take You as my armor. Just as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me see if I can explain it. The Lord Jesus Christ has already offered Himself as a sacrifice on Calvary's cross for your life and for mine. And we know that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved. We come into His salvation. The salvation's already there. It's already available. But how does it become real to you in your life? You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is an act of your will. You have to go through that process. It's not an act of the mind. Sometimes we say, well, do you know the Lord? Yeah, I know about Jesus. I know about Jesus, yes. I've read some history about Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Him. He's a historical character. Has nothing to do with His Lordship or His sacrifice on Calvary. Accepting it in your mind is not the issue. We have to make an act of our will to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in our life to make it real. So, put on the armor of God. It is an act of will. Listen to these things. Brothers and sisters, we have to make Christ active in our lives. We have to have the promises of God real in our lives. We have to have the work of Calvary made real in our lives. And it's always done through a choice, through an act of will. Listen to this. Romans 13:12. Put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Romans 4:22. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Romans 12:1. Present your body a living sacrifice. Can you present yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord in the morning? This is consecration. Do you consecrate yourself? I'm afraid, because I am so guilty, I can speak on this, I think. I just get up in the morning and go. I'm not putting on anything except my clothes. And I'm lucky to get all those off. I know the other morning I walked out and my wife said, "Jerry, you sure you got everything?" I said, "I'm not sure of anything." She said, "Well, okay, have you got your cell phone? Have you got your badge? Have you got your, you know, your wallet? Have you got..." And she went through the list for me, thank God. That's one morning I got out with everything. But one brother even proposed, he says, "You know, it might not be a bad idea in the morning when you get up to put on each piece of the armor." Actually, before the Lord Jesus Christ. But all I'm pointing out, it is this active will, not willpower. I'll talk about that a little bit more. It's not willpower. It's not that you're exercising willpower in this thing. It's just that you're submitting your will to the will of God and say, "Lord, I will that you be my armor today. I'm going to put on Christ today. I'm going to put off the old man." Well, all acts of will are a choice. All the work of Christ is made active personally in your life through some choice of will in your life. That is why your will is so important to the enemy. He cannot attack your will directly. Did you know that? He cannot force you to do anything. He can influence you, trick you, deceive you by working through your mind to get to the will. Your mind, as I think Brother Spark said, is the great battlefield, the citadel. The castle that he's trying to get to is your will. He wants you to make a choice. That's the way he got to Eve. He started toying with her mind, putting this doubt in her mind about God. And he got her to make a choice of will, which was contrary to God's will. So, brothers and sisters, one of the greatest enemies in our lives, one of the greatest tragedies of us as Christians, and I speak of myself personally, particularly for the last 2 years, is passivity. Just being passive. Thinking it's going to get all right. Thinking that, you know, I'm armored. Now, I didn't think about that. But you just kind of get up in the morning and you kind of, well, you're not. We need to actively, as an act of will, put on and put off, as it says. One brother says we need a liberated will. A will to do the will of God. Not a passive will, but an active will. You know, our wills, you might say, "Well, Jerry, you know, I'm pretty weak in that area." You know, some people are very strong-willed, some are weak. But it doesn't matter whether you're strong-willed or weak-willed. The issue's not getting a stronger will in the sense of willpower. The whole issue is submitting your will to the will of God. That is where your will comes from. Gains its strength to do the will of God is by being submissive. "Not my will, but thine, Lord." That's the secret for the will. The secret of the strength of your will is "not my will, Lord, but thine be done." Sometimes in our lives we recognize that we're not willing. God's will becomes very clear to us sometimes, right? But we're just not willing. And we struggle with it. Well, there's a prayer we can pray. "Lord, I'm willing to be willing. I'm willing to be willing." The Lord will answer that prayer. And I'll share with you in a minute. But even that is not enough. Paul said in Romans 7, to will is present with me, but how to perform it, I cannot find. Will is critical. There has to be an act of will. But even then, the power is not from the will. For Paul said, I will. You know, I can do that, but I still can't perform. Philippians 2:13, God works in you both to will and to do. The power is of God. The power lies not in your will. All we have to do with our will is to be willing. And the power is of God. First of all, it's like this. The Spirit moves in your spirit. The Lord uses your mind, if it's attuned to Jesus Christ that day, He uses our mind to begin to realize there's something in our spirit that the Lord is trying to say to us. And eventually, He gives clarity to your mind that this is what the Lord is after. You're able to discern the will of God through your mind. And then becomes the critical issue. Now that you know the will of God, you need to choose the will of God. Lord, I choose your will. Lord, in this particular area, it's very difficult for me. I don't want to do it. That is not my will. I would rather do this, or I would rather go here. I can't face this problem. I would prefer at this point in my life not to face it. The Lord says, you need to face it. And you say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Then His power is released through this act or choice of your will to energize you in your spirit to actually perform God's will. That is what it means by taking up the cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is simply my will and the Lord's will. Forms the cross. But when our will is joined with God's will, the power of God, the Holy Spirit is released in your life to do the work. Some of y'all are probably familiar with the old steam engines, the old trains. I think it was one that came through Ashland a couple of years ago and had all the photographers up there to take a picture of this old steam engine. Well, interestingly enough, a steam engine is practically just a boiler. It's like putting a pot on the stove and letting her boil. Now, of course, if you don't have a lid on it, you never develop steam, do you? It just boils off. But if you've got a pressure cooker, which seals it in, that's basically what that train engine was a pressure cooker for all of you that still use those things. Are they still used anymore? Okay. Man, my wife hadn't used one in a long time. But we got microwaves and things around there. And Forman grills. Forman grills are great. Even I can do a Forman grill. But anyway, this steam engine, it would generate all of this steam, tremendous amount of pressure in a steam engine. If you, I don't even know what a train engine weighed, but look how much weight has to be in a train. But they would develop this steam. It's a powerful energy. But the steam has to drive a piston that drives the wheels. And the way the steam is put into the piston to drive the wheels is the engineer has to simply turn a valve or throw a valve. A little valve. Consider your will as that valve on the steam engine. There's a tremendous energy and power in the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and ascended Him to the throne. This same power is in you because Christ is in you. But brothers and sisters, I think so often we just never turn the valve. Either because our will is opposed to the Lord, in other words, it's kind of gotten rusty and frozen in place, and you might need a little WD-40 on it. For men know what WD-40 is. things that breaks down rust and causes things to lubricate well. But once you throw that valve, the steam is released and the work is done. I wanted to spend some time on this morning because I believe so often in our Christian life we've forgotten about this little thing called our choice or our will. And it's so critical to make Christ real in your life, to make the work of Christ real in your life. Just this little act of will. You just have no idea the power that it releases. And so I think a lot of times, brothers and sisters, when the adversary is attacking and things are going in our lives, it's just happening to us. And we're saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And in His grace, He does, but I think the Lord wants to say, what is my will in this issue? If you can find it out and if you can come into agreement with my will, all the power of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself that raised Him from the dead is available in this situation to deal with it, to make Christ real in this situation. So you see that really our whole lives, all that we experience is designed actually to bring us to the place we're willing to be willing so that the power of God can be manifest on this earth in your life, in my life. And often we find ourselves lying on the ground, beat up. And our prayer is, Lord, help me. Now, that's a legitimate prayer. But sometimes our prayer needs to be, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that a long ways off. The whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, let me explain that. I'm running out of time. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. It's really righteous acts in your life. We have the righteousness of Christ, but that righteousness needs to result in a practical righteousness in our life. Good works. Now, you're not saved by good works, but when you're saved and you come into a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His life is working in you, one of the fruits should be righteousness. Practical righteousness. And you may be living a righteous life before the Lord. And there doesn't seem to be anything that is offending your conscience. But you forget to put on the helmet of salvation that day. And so the enemy just starts throwing those darts at your mind. He's trying to put doubts in your mind. Doubts about yourself. Doubts about your relationship to God. May even get you to doubt that you're saved, which puts you in a tremendously weakened condition. Doubt that you can be forgiven for what you've done. Doubts about a brother or a sister. Imaginations start to flow in. And all of a sudden you find yourself overwhelmed and defeated. Not because you weren't living a righteous life, but because you didn't have the helmet of salvation. So it's important that we put on all the armor, brothers and sisters. That we use the weapons that are given to us. It's important that we be completely covered in Jesus Christ. Now, one little point that so many scholars point out, and it's so right. There's no armor for the back. All this armor is on the front. The helmet, of course, surrounds your head, but you have the breastplate, you have the buckler, and you have your feet shod, and you have your shield of faith to protect you. But there's nothing behind you. In other words, if you are running from the enemy, and let me make it more practical, if you are running from your situation, which we do, you have no armor to protect you back there. The enemy has you totally vulnerable at that point. You have to face the issue. You have to face the enemy. The great part about it is when you are turned in the right direction, you also can look over the enemy's shoulder and see the Lord there. We have to be so careful not to lay down in this battle. When warriors get wounded in the battle, they have to continue to fight. You just can't stop fighting. You have to continue. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to already have people wear it out thinking, Lord, I'll never make it through. But we've already been there, some of us, saying, Lord, I'll never make it through this. And you're here today. You're here today because of the grace of God. If there's ever a safety net, I know that, I forgot which administration talked about the safety net. Was that Kennedy? One of the presidents, Johnson. Johnson was the safety net that he wanted to have. Well, brothers and sisters, there is a safety net for us as Christians, and it's called grace. The grace of God. We thank God for His safety net. But the Lord wants us to stand in battle, armored with Jesus Christ. Armored with Him. And so it's right at 12 o'clock, and I'm just fixing to get into the armor. Maybe it's best I just stop here today, and we'll continue on at another time. We do want to pray for Will and his wife and his family. Obviously, they are already in the victory of Christ this morning. But we also want to pray for Kenny and Linda. The reason Kenny couldn't speak this week is because Linda has been in the hospital almost all week now and had a couple of real tremendous bouts. I just remember last Sunday night when we met, right as we were fixing to go out, Kenny said, you know, Jerry, says Linda's running a fever. Immediately I grabbed Kenny and I said, we've got to pray and stand against this, Kenny. The enemy has tried to take Linda from us so many times during this past year. So we prayed and we stood. And Kenny got home, and of course, he took Linda to the hospital. Her fever had gone to 103 at that point. I'm going to make a point of this. And he got her to the hospital, and when he got her to the hospital, her blood pressure was okay. But on the way, Linda had complained to Kenny. She said, you know, I got to get a new blood pressure. What do you call those things? Cut. She said, it's not working. She said, I tried to take my blood pressure and it wouldn't work. Well, the problem was her blood pressure was so low it wouldn't register. But by the time she got to the hospital, her pressure was up. I really do believe the Lord intervened that night, not because of my prayer, but there was an awareness. On the one hand, I have to say, I really felt just so urgent that night in prayer concerning that matter. Now, as we know, the next day her blood pressure did drop, and we had to deal with that. And I think recently it was bleeding because of the blood thinner she was on. The only point being, she's in God's hands, brothers and sisters. She really is. And if you know Linda, she's a very active warrior herself. But on the other hand, we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we resist the enemy. I read that verse of Scripture to us last week. Well, next time we'll get into the more practical aspects of this armor. But today we need to remember this little, the four A's, the quad A plan. We have to be enlightened. We have to detect and reject. We have to detect our adversary. That's the alarm system. We need to be armored. We need to be armed with the sword of the Word, God's Word. I do not accept this. Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. I can declare that. I can use the sword of the Spirit. That's authoritative prayer. Okay. We'll get more into these things later. Lord, we just come back to Thee today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say, Lord, reveal to our hearts in these days what You're doing, Lord. We want to be submissive to Your will, Lord. We want to be willing, Lord. We want to be put ourselves in a place, Lord, that Your power and authority can be released in our lives. Lord, we stand in the mighty name of Jesus today that You're the victor. You're the victor over this assembly. You're the victor over every brother and sister in our midst. And Lord Jesus, regardless of what we face or what we see or what we think, it does not change the victory that has been wrought in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior on the cross. And it is that victory which we proclaim. It is that victory in which we stand today. Lord, we put on Jesus Christ this day, and we put off the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.